I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Understand what I'm saying? Yes. And a lot of people don't believe that God answers prayer, and that's why we don't pray. I mean, if you knew someone who would respond to, let's say, most of your requests, how often would you go to that person? Yeah? If you knew someone who had the ability to meet all your needs, you know, and all you had to do was just to ask, how often would you go to the person? All the time? All the time, like what? Once a year? Twice a year? All the time? Every day? Every day you be with him. Do you have that many needs? Really? I see. Wow. Well, so then, the fact that we don't go to God that often is the first sign that we don't really believe that God answers prayer. Do you get it? But look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means he will not be happy with you. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you see that? That God rewards people who diligently seek him. People who seriously go to God in prayer. God rewards them. Amen. You know, so we need to have faith and to believe that God hears prayer. And that verse, Psalm 65 and verse 2, is saying that because God hears prayer, all flesh, that means all human beings, everybody must come to God. Amen. All, we are flesh. Are you flesh? Are you part of all flesh? Yeah. I don't know if it includes animals and stuff like that, but us, that is an instruction. God is showing us where we must go to. Amen. And if we go there, He is going to hear us and He will answer our prayer. Can I have an amen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 is where the matter of grace begins and where it is found. Hallelujah. Now, this one is saying that he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Maybe you can go back a little bit, go to verse 7. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." See, most of the problems we have in the flesh, you see, are caused by Satan. Can you understand that? Yeah, they are caused by Satan. You see, and it says that something was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Can you see that? Then the next verse. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." That means I asked the Lord three times that it might depart from me. It might depart from me. This thing will just go away. I prayed about it three times. Do you have anything in your life you prayed about at least three times? Can you think of something you've prayed about three times? Okay. Then you have a lot in common with Paul. Then verse 9 says that he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That means God didn't take the thing away. Can you see that? He said he asked the Lord three times, "Take this thing away. Change this situation. Move this problem," because it was an agent of Satan, something coming from the devil that was tormenting him and making him miserable. Right? The word is buffet. That's the same word we use for eating buffet. So probably it means Satan was having as much of him as he could. Maybe, I don't know. All right? He said, Satan was having a buffet with him, I tell you. "And lest I should be exalted above measure." You see, so I don't become too big, or I don't feel too big. Then he said, the next thing, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, it should go away." And instead, he said, the Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for thee. That means my grace is enough. My grace is okay for you in this situation. Amen. Then he explains. Can you see a column there? So he is explaining why his grace is okay. Because he said, my strength, you know, which is also his grace. He said, my strength is made perfect, you know, in weakness. That means when you have a problem, you see, that's when my strength shows forth. Are you getting it? The place of your weakness, the place of your pain, is also the place for the strength of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, it's also the place for the strength of God. That's why God said, no problem. sleep. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, the other day I was just watching, I think I was with Maureen, and I was sitting somewhere with Maureen around here, and her little girl was just roaming around, you know, and then at a point she started to cry or made some kind of sound, you see. Then immediately Maureen asked, I think she called on one of the ladies in the church, you know, to go see to the baby for her, you see. But when the baby was walking around without a problem, Maureen didn't send any help her way. Are you getting what I'm saying? We were sitting here, and Maureen was just relaxing, and we were all just sitting there because the baby had no issue. But when the baby started to have an issue, that is when Maureen sent attention towards her. So that's why this guy is saying that rather, when I have a problem, I'll be happy because I can be sure that that's when his grace actually is multiplied towards me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. That's so when he said, move the problem away, three times he prayed, move the problem away, you know, then God said, no, don't worry. My grace is good for you. It's good for you. If this problem goes away, the grace will also go away because the grace is for the problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need to become believers in the grace of God. When you have a difficulty, when you have challenges, when you have things that are beyond you, you need to start to pray for grace, especially things that are not changing. I mean, if it's not changing, what are you going to do? Do you see? You pray that God should change it, and it's not changing. Well, I mean, and it's not only you. You see, some people get upset that they prayed about something and they didn't get an answer. It's not only you. Isn't it? You can see that Paul has prayed three times. You have prayed just once. Some haven't even prayed at all. They are angry that God has allowed them. Do you see? But the big apostle Paul himself said that he had a problem and he prayed three times to the Lord that God would take it away. And instead, God answered, my grace is sufficient for thee, and that my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you get it? I need weakness for my strength to come forth properly. Are you getting it? Yes. You see, it's like somebody who wants to draw. If you're a great artist, your strength will be made perfect on plain sheets of paper. If you're a great artist and I need you to draw something, for me to see how great, you know, your gift is, I need to give you a sheet that is plain, that has nothing on it. The weaker the sheet, the more your gift comes out. Well, imagine if I give you a newspaper that's already covered with so many things, pictures of Trump, pictures of Obama, all of these are on the sheet, and I say, show me your gifts. Yeah. It will be difficult to see your picture. Do you understand? So often God needs a state of weakness where there's very little you can do. And then his power shines through. And he said, so I like it when you have a situation like this because that's the way people get to see my power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So today we want to pray for grace. We want to apply grace to any situation in your life for which you would like attention from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to pray for grace. Instead of even praying for the thing to change, pray rather for grace to endure, for grace to survive, for grace to overcome, for grace to come through. Amen. So that must be the reason why someone who went through an experience like that is still not bitter, he's still not angry, he's still happy, and he's still preaching, and he's still teaching, and he's still, you know, very positive about God, because God gave him grace to endure it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we've got to ask God this morning for his grace.
do you think? Yes, for his grace to be multiplied towards us. And I believe that that will be a blessing. Amen. When God's grace comes upon you, it will help you. It will strengthen you. Do you understand? It will strengthen you. It will not make you take the wrong decisions. Because a lot of people take wrong decisions in times of crisis. Isn't it? Yes. Many of the mistakes we make in life, we make them in seasons of crisis. It's like, I didn't know what else to do. So I did this. Then you realize you've made a big mistake. You shouldn't have done that. Amen. So we're going to pray for grace. What do you think? We're going to pray for grace this morning and ask God for the grace, the kind of grace that sustains people in times of crisis and no matter what is going on in their lives. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Just ask God for grace. Grace, His grace. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody pray, pray. Ask God. Everybody begin to pray for grace this morning. Thank you. Choice. Do you Do you understand? He didn't have a choice. So he had to learn himself what makes things work. How to shepherd people. You see, how to build a church. And that's what has given us the books. Then the second example had to do with the Kodesh, which is one of the big churches, you know, in the city of Accra, one of the big cathedrals that we own. Now, he said that, you know, this place where the church was before, it's not a very nice place, the original place where the church started. Okay. But he said he didn't see anything wrong with that place. So he was okay just there building the church, you know, and just working on it. And then one day the people in the area rose up and attacked the church. You know, they attacked the church. I was even there on that day. That was the day we're being ordained. Yeah. We had gone over to Ghana for ordination. During our ordination, some people came, they attacked us with stones and different things. Area, you know, and some people were hurt, actually. Yeah, some people were bleeding and so on. You know, now on that day when that thing happened, that's the day that someone walked up to him and told him, there is a place across over there on the other side of town. The person is selling it. You guys can buy it for the church. That's how we got that place. Can you understand that? See, don't forget the word. It says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you get it? So, that is why Paul is saying, most gladly, most gladly, most gladly. Because it's absurd for someone who has a problem to be glad. Do you understand? But even when things are not good, you can be glad. Because his power is going to show forth if you pray for his grace. The grace of God upon a person makes bad situations good for him. And it causes good to come out of otherwise bad situations. Are you getting what I'm saying? And sometimes so much good can come from the evil that you wonder if you should ask for more evil. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I used to know, I still know a lady who was in a relationship with someone and the person broke up with her. And she was really hurt, heartbroken. But then, down the line, I'm sure you can imagine where my story is going. Down the line, she met somebody else that she considered far better than them. Better than the original person. Do you see? Yeah. So then, in such a situation, you was just wondering, should maybe when my heart is broken, I tend to get better. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you this morning? So, we're asking God to give us his grace. Say, Lord, for this situation I'm in, I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you didn't pass an exam. You didn't do well. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you have a bad situation at home. Maybe your health. Some situation that makes you unhappy. You don't like your circumstances. Today, you want to pray and activate the grace of God. Do you understand? You want to say, Lord, I'm activating your grace. I'm asking for grace. Grace to be with me in this situation so that I can act right, so I can behave right, so I can do the right thing in this situation. Because your strength is, which is the grace, it is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's pray again. Let's pray. Pray for grace. Thank you. real. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. The Bible says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can you see that? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This is the most powerful revelation about what grace does in a person's life. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That means the grace of God is what makes people become what they must become. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The grace of God, whatever your dreams are, whatever you're trying to become, maybe you're studying to become something, or even sometimes what you have in mind is not exactly what you are studying towards. You know, there are some courses in school, they don't really tell you exactly where you're going. Is it true or not? There are some subjects you are doing them because, you know, it's like it's the easier one, I mean, to be able to graduate, because otherwise you will not graduate. It's not going to work. The school counselor has given you counsel and has helped you to select this and select this and select this. And so just so you can graduate. That's what is happening. So you don't know exactly where you are headed. You just know that you are, at least you can see that you are going to finish the school. But as to what you do after that. But you see, the grace of God upon you, you see, will transform you into what you must become, regardless of what you studied in school. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, regardless of what you studied in school, the grace of God, Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace of God has made me what I am. You understand? And look at what he says. He said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It was not useless. Do you understand? His grace upon your life will never be useless. It will never be in vain. His grace will accomplish something. It will accomplish something. Yes. Wow. You know, I'm so encouraged by this one. Because his grace which was upon me was not in vain. So if some of that grace can come upon you, it means it will not be in vain. By all means, something good will come out of your life. And look at it. He said, it was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. The grace began to show in how I went. Do you see? He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Then he said, yeah. And he said, if you saw me, you think I like work. But it was not that I like work. It's the grace upon me. So that's why he said, yet it was not I. It was not I. It was the grace that was upon me. It was not I. It was not I. Are you understanding what I'm sharing? The grace of God which was with me. That is what made me labor more abundantly than everybody. That's what made me excel. It made me successful. It made me do better than everybody else. It made me climb heights that I never thought I belonged to. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what we want to pray. So with this next prayer, we are praying for the grace of God to make you into what you need to be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ask God. Some of you need the grace of God to be just a good Christian. It's like you are struggling with this Christian life too much. Do you see? And you need the grace of God just to be a good Christian. Because your life is always, it's like you're being torn always between the world and the Lord or the faith. You are struggling all the time. You are just like on the borderline. What do you think? outside and say, I'm now on the Lord's side. Do you understand? And His grace will push you onto that side. Once and for all. Amen. So you've got to ask God for grace for living the Christian life. Grace to be a good example of a Christian. Grace to belong. Some struggle even just to come to church on Sunday. I tell you, it may look easy for you, but for a lot of people it's very difficult to wake up and routinely go to church. You know, it's like they have to fight some kind of a battle every Sunday morning. Just to, I mean, when you see them here, so when we go around welcoming people, welcome them properly, because you don't know what they have been through. Overcome a lot to be here. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you want to pray for the grace that makes those things easy. But Lord, please, I need grace to move past this stage. I want to have some other problems, but not coming to church. I don't want to have a problem with coming to church. I want to have some other type of problem, but not coming to church. Hallelujah. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So start praying now. Ask God for the grace that will make you into what you're trying to be. Some of you, you're trying to become, you're trying to, just pray, pray, just pray. My revolution, Father God, may your grace make us into what we are trying to be. May your grace make us into laborers. May your grace make us into laborers. And not lazy folk. May your grace make us into laborers. May your grace not make our life in vain. But Father God, may your grace make our life a profitable life. Father God, pray in the name of Jesus that we can become what you desire for us to become. By your grace, God, bring us to the grace of God. So what it means then is that the grace of God can be frustrated. Do you understand? Now people become frustrated when they are not allowed to do what they like to do. Is it not true? Yes. Especially little children. Little children, they show frustration very easily. Because they want to do something. Sometimes even what they want to do is hurtful, but they just want to be allowed to do it. And when you don't allow them to do it, they start to feel frustrated. Now, that's the same situation with the grace of God. When the grace of God wants to do something in your life, and there are impediments, since the grace becomes frustrated. And Paul is saying that I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't want the grace of God to be frustrated. So right now we want to bind devils and demons that obstruct the grace. Do you see what I'm saying? And that causes the grace to be frustrated. It's like things in your life, things in your thinking, your behavior that don't allow the grace of God to fully express itself in your life. Can you understand the subject? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yes? Sometimes the grace of God wants to do something with you, but the way you are, God wants to make you into someone great. You know? But you won't even get out of bed. Do you see? Yeah. There's even grace for studying and knowing and passing just that you won't sit behind the book. And you have little devils and demons that distract you and that take you and move you in different directions and to different places just to frustrate the grace of God and to stand in His way. So right now we want to pluck out and bind every demonic activity in your life that doesn't allow for full expression of the grace of God in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we want to pray against every evil spirit that has been assigned to your life, and you want to rebuke him and say, I bind you, I rebuke you, stop following me in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? Say, stop following me in the name of Jesus. You will not overcome me. I will overcome you by the grace of God. Let's begin to pray. Bind every demon and every devil in the name of Jesus that is released against you, that is warning you and that is obstructing the grace of God in your life. In the name of Jesus.
Grace from working in our lives in the name of Jesus. Little God,
church work that we're doing, the building of the church, the growing of the church. Hallelujah. We want to bind them. We want to drive them away. Hallelujah. We want to drive them away, that God's people be released to seven. We are trusting God to have a room full of people. 100, at least 100 people here every Sunday. Hallelujah. Yes, and we want to bind the devils and demons that are obstructing, that fighting our vision in the name of Jesus. So let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you for your power.
Out of your belly, that is the one who came
shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Jesus has that kind of effect on a person. So he says that, you know, this he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, which those who believe on him should receive. Amen. If you're a believer, the next important thing you must do is to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You must receive what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he is the master quencher of whatever thirst is going on in your life. Amen. Right. Now, when you observe people, you notice that we all are thirsty. Human beings are thirsty everywhere. Do you understand? And the thirst in people is shown in the things people do. Do you get it? The things people are willing to do shows the kind of thirst that is going on in their life. Now, the commonest manifestation of thirst is the pursuit of money. Hallelujah. Men are always seeking to quench their thirst in the wrong way, you know. And one of the commonest ways that people seek to quench their thirst is to find more money. People feel that the more money they have, the happier they will be. A lot of people attribute all unhappiness to the lack of money. But here in LA, you start to begin to think that money does not seem to answer everything. There are a lot of people who have a lot of money who don't seem to be happy. Lots of stars, actors, actresses. You know, it's very common in California for people to commit suicide. You know, even here in Pasadena. Pasadena is one of the main centers for committing suicide. Yes, we bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. But yes, out there on that freeway, the 210, right there, just, you know, you cross that just before you come here. And lots of people commit suicide over there. Actors and people who are supposed to have money and are supposed to not be struggling, you know. And they have it, and yet they take their lives. Because there's a what? Oh, there's a suicide bridge. Yeah, maybe they need to break that bridge. Right? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you see that when you don't have something, maybe you don't have so much money, and especially when you're a student, you usually don't have a whole lot of money. So there's nothing wrong with you, it's just the stage. Very few students have a lot of money. You get most students just get by. You get it, don't have a lot of money. And you shouldn't be discouraged by that. It says nothing about your destiny. It's just a stage of life. Yeah. Yeah. You don't eat lots of, you know, like eat mostly pizzas, lots of pizza, lots of bread, chicken tenders, right? What else? Hot pockets. And then what? Ramen noodles. Ramen noodles, yes. Yes. Peanut butter sandwiches, yes. So you see, even when Chestwick was singing, the only thing that came to his mind was granola bars and peanut butter. Because yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But it's just a stage. Tell somebody it's just a stage. It doesn't say anything about who I am or where I'm going. You're going to a greater place. The Bible says, though your beginning is small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. So there are better days ahead. Your best gifts will be like nothing to you. You give gifts in thousands. You just bless somebody. I mean, when you give somebody $500, it's like, it's just... Ask for $100, those will become like quarters. Just give them like that. Hallelujah. You should have faith and believe and keep serving God. Hallelujah. So people feel that if they can find money and find more money, they will quench their thirst. And that process of finding more money often plunges people into lots of pain and misery. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Right? Says the love of money is the root of all evil. He says there is the love of money, you know, at the base of all evil. You can find something to do with money. Hallelujah. It is the root of all evil. And while some have coveted after money, they have backslidden. They have deviated from the faith. They have swam, they've gone off course. Gone off course, and it says that they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Hallelujah. So many people find themselves doing even weird things just because they want to have money. Yes. Things they never imagined they would do. Yes. Weird jobs, you know, all sorts of things. And in California, there's a lot of that. Yes, there's a lot of weird things that, you know, people get offered money to do. Do you see? Yeah. And so people press hard and work so hard and do all these things because they want more and more money, only to find out when they have money that they are not satisfied. They thought money would buy them everything. And they have the money, but it can't seem to buy a certain satisfaction. It can't buy a certain contentment. Do you see? So then you said, that's why people commit suicide. Yes, because they can't see. It's like you can afford everything, but you're still not happy. You can afford everything. Imagine a life where you can afford everything. Anything you want, you can afford it. But you're still not happy. That's why Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, he didn't say let them find money. He said, let them come to me. Hallelujah. Let them come to me. Money is not a substitute for God. You can never be rich enough to not need God. Amen. You can never be rich enough to not need God. You can never be so rich that God is unnecessary. And yet you find when people become rich, they become proud. They become proud and start thinking they don't need God. Because it looks like most of society and most of life is about looking for money. People wake up from morning to evening and just roam around looking for money. Do you see? So when someone has come by a lot of money, then it comes with a sense of arrival. Because you have found what everybody's looking for. So if you have found what everybody else is looking for, you must be superior to everybody else. And therefore not need most of what they need. So if they're going to church, you count yourself out. If they're worshiping God, you count yourself out. Because you don't need any of the things they seem to need. But you're wrong. Because God is not, see, money is not a substitute for God. And even after you have and find a lot of money, you're going to find that you still are empty. You still are thirsty and you still need God. Money cannot take the place of God in the life of a person. Hallelujah. Says the Bible calls something the deceitfulness of riches. That riches are deceitful. Isn't it? That money tells lies. Money makes promises it doesn't fulfill. Yes. I have a friend who told me the other day, he said, sometimes it's nicer wishing you have something than actually having it. Yeah. He said, it is nicer wishing you had something than having it. Because he had been wishing he had something. Now he has it. And it's brought him no pleasure. And he feels that he used to enjoy the thought of having it more than the actual act of having it. That's how it is. My money makes a lot of promises it doesn't keep. Money tells people, if you get me, everything will be okay. It tells people, when you get a lot of me, you know, you will not cry anymore. You'll be happy all the time. Your heart will not be broken anymore. You will not be harassed anymore. Who are the most harassed people on earth? Yes. Is it not the rich? Sometimes I wonder what kind of life some of these people have. Every time you step out of your house, there are cameras all over. They are following you. You know? They are following you. You can't do anything. They are just following you all the time. You're like a little animal in a cage. And everybody's watching your every movement. Your every movement entertains somebody. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that your every movement? You know, we've been raising this little turtle in our house. And yesterday I was just looking at him. You know, and imagine what kind of, I mean, your life is somebody's entertainment. I was just thinking about yesterday. You know, that at some point we may have to set this boy loose. I'm sure he wants to have a wife. He wants to have children. I mean, he must have dreams and, I mean, a vision for his life. Do you get it? But his life is, he's in a box to avoid fornication.
Second Timothy chapter
3 and verse 7. It says, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because the truth is not found in a lecture room. The truth is not found in school. The truth, Jesus is the truth, according to the word of God. The truth is not found in what we study. And sometimes as we've studied and studied and studied, we get to a point where we start to now confuse ourselves. Especially studies about what to eat. Yeah. Protein. One moment this is good for you, the next moment this is not good for you. So I'm just thinking that by the time we find out that something is not good for us, we've eaten too much of it already. What do you think? Yes. Because they said eggs are not good for you. Then now they said eggs are good for you. Then they say coffee is bad. Yes. And now they say coffee is good. They said fat is bad. And now they say fat is good. As somebody told me last week, even in this church, he said he's eating a lot of fat now. Yeah, he told me he's on some kind of diet and that he's eating a lot of fat now. I was actually offering him something to eat and he said it wasn't fat. It's like it wasn't fatty enough. Then he can't eat this. Yeah. He's eating once a day in the afternoon. He's eating a lot and a lot of fat, greasy stuff. Wow. That's a truly liberated person. Yeah. So people feel that as they get in more and more knowledge, God has not quenched the thirst of man. Knowing more things has not made people less thirsty. Yes. People have only gone on to try to find out more. And as we are finding out more, we are getting even more thirsty. Because people are finding out that knowledge is not going to quench our thirst. Look at this verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Can you see this verse? In much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Do you see? Yeah. You see that the more you, even you become stressed, you can't enjoy food anymore. Because of what you know about it. How many are finding out that some, even now, sometimes you are hungry. And you want to eat. And even what you feel like eating, but something you know is stopping you from enjoying what God has created to be enjoyed. I think our problem is not so much that we ate something. I think our problem is more like we ate too much of something. I think our lives are destroyed more by greed. Because God created all these things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. But somehow, the greed of man, you know, some and anything that has been tempered with by man, you should watch it. Because human beings can be evil. We never have the purest of motives. Do you see? Yeah. So when it's better to eat things in the form that God created and limit how much you eat. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You should trust God more than man. I mean, if God gives you milk, you should trust the milk that God gave you more than the one that man has messed with. What do you think? Yes. God made it the way it should be. Do you see what? And then man takes it and he removes so many things from it and then adds some things to it. Then it starts to become dangerous. And you can't find the one who made it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So knowledge does not quench the thirst of man. Number three, the third thing people do to quench their thirst is seeking pleasure. Seeking pleasure. 1 Peter 4:3 says, "For in time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness." Right? Lasciviousness. And lusts. Excess of wine. Revellings. And banquetings. And abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to do the same or to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He says, people think it's strange that you don't do the same things and they speak evil of you for not doing the same things. Can you see that? Yes. He's talking about partings. Going out Friday nights, Saturday nights. Some people can't come to church on Sunday morning because of Saturday night. If Saturday did not have a night, they would come to church on Sunday morning. Yeah. Parties. And going to have what we call fun, which ends up often leaving people rather empty. They feel empty. They feel, you know, stripped. They feel like something has been taken away from them. But they can't really, it's like everybody's doing it. So you just have to do it. But not because you're being truly satisfied. There is no real satisfaction in there. It says excess of wine. Excess of wine. You see, people running around and drinking, which is the next thing. The next thing that people try to use to quench their thirst is through alcohol. Yeah. And Isaiah 5:11 says, "Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Can you see that? Yes, till wine inflame them. People who drink alcohol, who think that that will satisfy them, it will take something out of them. And not only alcohol, people who do drugs and smoke all kinds of things, you know, and sometimes you watch a person smoking, you know, like I did recently when somebody was standing somewhere was smoking, and the strength with which he was drawing the thing, you could see that there's a deep thirst. Because he wants the thing to go deep down. Yes. Because you just wonder, why do people have to smoke? Because everywhere we see smoke typically is a bad sign. Is it not true? Yes. I mean, if you were on a plane and you saw smoke, it's a bad sign. Even in the kitchen, when you see smoke, it's a bad sign. The least it means is that your food is not becoming food. It's unbecoming food. Yeah, you know, food goes through a cycle. As you cook it, it comes from inedible to edible, then back to inedible. So smoke is always a bad sign. But somehow there are some people who have been tricked into accepting that smoke is a good sign. It's what will quench your thirst. And people smoke. with it. Yes, they mix. I mean, you don't even know what leaves they are selling to you. Do you get it? You don't know which of the plants. And if it says plants, we have some outside here. You know how to buy it. It's called wheat. Wheat, we find them everywhere. Next week, I'll bring everybody some wheat from my house. I have to pay a gardener to get rid of the wheat. If I have people in my church who smoke them, I'll just bring everybody to my house. Just smoke the wheat. I don't have to pay the gardener. The next thing people do to quench their thirst. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 25 is as let not thine heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her path, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Yeah. Many people have followed sex to their death. Today, one of the things that takes people's lives is diseases like HIV, you know, that are transmitted through sexual activity. It's interesting that our memory verse today is about fornication. And you know, she was trying not to tell us the meaning of that. But that is what is happening. Just sex and sex and sex and sex and sexualization and sexicalization. Selling something and you want to draw attention to it, you have to put some nakedness next to it. Yeah. And I don't even know why nakedness is attractive. If it's so attractive, why do we cover it? Then why don't we just walk around? Know some things. just know some things. Are you surprised that I'm saying something like that? You have to go. You know, we used to live near some, you know, in Atlanta, we used to live on that road. There was some, there was the name of that road, Peachtree Parkway or something, some road. Yes. That's where I saw that thing, because there was a shop there right next to the gas station. Yes. Yes. And they were selling these kinds of things in that place. Don't ask me what I was doing there. To a gas station. Yes. Actually, okay, I'll tell you what I was saying. Someone was coming to see me, a relative of mine that I didn't even know existed. I found I lived in Atlanta, and he was coming to see me. And when I was giving him directions to my house, he said he couldn't find it. So I should meet him at that place. So that's where I went to meet him. And while I was waiting for him, I entered the shop. That I saw things from it. And they were selling handcuffs. Is this a police station or what? Yeah. It's the thirst. It's the thirst. It's the thirst. It's the thirst. They have people who have sex parties. Yes. Lots of people swingers clubs. Yes. People swapping spouses. Yes. Yeah. Even one boy was sharing a testimony the other day. He said, "No, they used to have a room that they'd be having sex with, and they crisscrossing on us. They just mapped this one to this one, this one to this other, and that one to that one." Yes. Just abusing themselves, destroying themselves, because this deep inside is like the last thing is not good enough. You want more, something. You don't understand that there's something wrong with you. You get there's something wrong with you. You're thirsting for something, you know, and you're trying to put. Have you seen someone who's like, sometimes when they are experiencing withdrawal, you know, if you go to Skid Row, you see a lot of that. You see someone who needs money to buy his next shot, and he's literally dying. You can see that he's very angry, he's aggressive, because he needs, his body is calling for something. And he doesn't have that something to put in it, and he becomes very aggressive. Such people will do anything. They'll break into a car. They'll even mug someone, kill someone, do anything just to get some small money. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is because people are thirsty for something. You know? Because I was telling somebody the other day that I don't understand how I can live a normal life without any of the things you seem to need to live. Yeah, you need a smoke break. You need to drink something. You need to swallow something. I don't need any of these things to live. But when I thought through, I realized Jesus has quenched my thirst. That's really what it is. Jesus has become something to me that those other people have not experienced. Yeah. And it's real. You shouldn't take it for granted that you don't need any of these things to live your normal life. You don't feel like you're missing anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is because Jesus quenches the thirst. Jesus, he said, if anyone is thirsty, he needs to come to me. Not to go to a man or go to a woman. Are you understanding me? Not to go to a woman, that's or a man, that's not the answer to the thirst. people do is hard work. Like, work harder. Just do more. Right? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, there is one alone, and there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is all vanity. Yea, it is a soul travail. Yes. See, my wife was telling me yesterday, or the day before, she was talking about men. She said, men, we like to work. We just work. And we suddenly die. And she said, we never stop to think, who are we even working for? Because all the work, and then we become sick and we die. We leave somebody in deep pain. I don't know why she was thinking such philosophical thoughts. It's like we leave people in pain. And we go on and on and on. And we are never satisfied. Once we achieve the one thing, we have the next thing. And we keep working and working and working. Look at the scripture. It says there is one alone. He's alone. There is not a second. And yet, he hath neither child nor brother. He doesn't have any responsibilities. Yet there is no end to his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. A lot of people have money they don't even spend. Do you know that? Do you know that for most people, if you wiped out their savings, it won't make a difference to their lives? Because their lives actually are not linked to those savings. A lot of people just like to see the balance on the statement. Just to see it. You get it? It disturbs them when the balance goes down. But not that they want to spend it, because they can't even spend the money. It pains them to buy something even for themselves. I tell you, they cannot buy anything for themselves. They can only stare at the money and stare at their name on top of the money. And that's it. Yeah. Check their balance on the app several times a day. They cannot even enjoy what God has given to them. Do you understand? He says, he does not even ask, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? Then it says, this is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. It's useless, painful, hard work. It's a waste of time. Hallelujah. But you can't blame people for doing it, because people are thirsty. People are thirsty. People want something. They want something. And there's always the sense that you're missing something. Maybe if you do this, if you take this next step, then you would be approaching satisfaction. When you take this next step, you'll be approaching satisfaction. Sometimes the people who are involved in these things do a presentation. Have you seen, you know, when people are advertising alcohol, for example, they never advertise people wounded. They don't advertise alcohol with accidents and all those. They do not do that. You can see a bunch of guys having fun on the beach. Yes. We never have the full story. It should have been like that. A good alcohol ad should have accidents. Right? A man beating his wife, isn't it? Someone being rushed to the hospital, scars, wounds, poverty, yes, dialysis. I mean, that's what should be. That's what should be in the ad. And you don't see that. You know, they never tell us the real truth about what is emotions. They don't tell us about all those things that, that happen. It just looks like people are having fun. And people are enjoying, which is all a lie. Jesus said, come unto me if you are thirsty. If you are thirsty, come to Jesus. What people need is Jesus. What you're missing is Jesus. What you're missing is not that you didn't drink some beer. No, that's not what you're missing. What you're not missing is not because you don't have a girlfriend. That's not what you're missing. That's not what you're missing. What you're missing is Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. That's what you're missing. Hallelujah. And when Jesus comes into place, then you start to experience satisfaction. So much satisfaction that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You become a source of life to people. You become a source of life to people. You make a difference to people's lives because of Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you thirsty? How are you trying to quench your thirst? Hallelujah. Only Jesus can quench our thirst. John chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, John 4:14, it says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Can you see that? But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. It says, the water that I give to him shall be in him a well of what? Water springing up unto everlasting life. A well of water that springs up and that leads to everlasting life. That's the kind of water Jesus has given me. That's the kind of water Jesus has given many of you. And that's the kind of water Jesus wants to give more people. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to give more people that water. Jesus wants to get more people off the streets. More people off the streets. More people. Jesus wants to quench the thirst that makes people cut themselves. What will make a person cut himself? What will make a person shoot dangerous substances into his body? What will make a person pierce himself? What will make a person... I met somebody, the guy has tattooed his whole face. Yeah, the face. I mean, he has... Even I read about a guy who wanted a tattoo on his eyeball. Yeah. It's like he wanted a design on his eyeball. Now you're moving towards blindness. But there's a test. You know, when people start putting things like that on their bodies, they start in invisible places. Then soon it becomes visible. Then it's not enough. Then you have to show it. Then it has to come here. Then it has to come here. And all over here. Now you have people who are tattooed on their face. I mean, look at them. They have it everywhere. Yes? And they're pierced everywhere. You have people pierced here, the tongue, the nose, every part of them. There's a test. Something deep inside is calling for those things. It's because they are thirsty. It's because they are thirsty. And Jesus will quench that thirst. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? You should ask yourself, what makes people do it? If you've done it, ask yourself, why do you do it? Then you start to see that genuinely there's something inside that is calling for something. But Jesus stops that call. Can I have an amen? I said, Jesus stops that call. Jesus will make it unnecessary. Jesus will end that pursuit. Jesus in your life quenches that thirst. He says, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a wellspring of water. It says, it shall be in him a well of water springing up source of water for people. Before they destroy their lives, let's reach out to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, if you've done some of these things, you are just the best person that God wants to use. Because you are a testimony. You are a testimony that it doesn't satisfy. You are a testimony. You are proof that this leads nowhere. You need to come and tell people now, look at me. I used to do this. Sometimes you need to show people. I know one brother he used to show because he had marks all over his skin. He would pull his sleeves and show it to people. Say, look what I did to myself. You know, he would show it to people and say, look what I did. I used to be you, but Jesus saved me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That it's not about undoing anything, but it's about understanding that it didn't satisfy, and only Jesus brought satisfaction. And using that rather to tell people that what you are missing is not some art on your body. That's not what you're missing. What you're missing is Jesus in your life. You understand? When Jesus comes into your life, you will find a whole lot of things unnecessary, and you will not need to do all these things to your beautiful self. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's pray and thank God for quenching your thirst. Jesus said, he that comes to me, the water that I give him will be a well that springs up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. I want you to thank God for your salvation today. Thank Jesus for leading you to him. Salvation that only he can give. Thank Jesus for quenching your thirst. You may not know that you and I are just like those people out there. The only difference is that Jesus made it unnecessary for us to engage in some of the things he engaged in. Jesus made it unnecessary. Jesus made it unnecessary. Jesus made it unnecessary. Jesus made it unnecessary. Thank him for your salvation. I say, thank you, Lord, for quenching my thirst, for making all these things unnecessary, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, you saved me. You saved me. You saved me. Salvation has never meant more because Jesus quenched your thirst by making such things unnecessary. Now ask him to use you because he said, out of you shall flow those same waters. The waters that quenched your thirst, you will now become a source of that water. Jesus wants to make each of us a water bottle. He wants to make each of us a source of water to the world and to people who are thirsty out there. Jesus wants to make it. Lift up both of your hands and say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I want you to use me to quench the thirst of many people out there, Lord. Use me, use me, use me, Lord, to quench the thirst. Make me a thirst quencher, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As we close the service today, if you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, I'm one of those who are thirsty and I need Jesus in my life to quench that thirst. I want you to raise up your right hand and we'll pray together. Is there anybody here like that? Or maybe you're watching us online and you want to give your life to Jesus. You want Jesus to quench your thirst. You find yourself running around from man to man, from woman to woman, from man to woman, from woman to man, just crisscrossing all over the place, putting dangerous things into your body. You don't even know why. what you're putting in your body. Sniffing things and you don't even know what they contain. Because deep inside, there's something calling for it. Something calling for it. But that void inside can only be closed, can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. What you're missing is Jesus. Jesus is what you're missing. Jesus is what you're missing. Thank you, Lord. If you're like that today, let's pray together. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I receive you. Say it again. Say, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Say, oh Jesus, only you can quench my thirst. So come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I read something during the week. The person was saying that when God wanted to create fish, he spoke to the sea and he said, let the sea bring forth fish. That's how fish came. And he said, when God wanted to make trees, he spoke to the earth and he said, let the earth bring forth yield. So fish have their origins in the ocean. That's why when you take a fish out of the ocean, it doesn't seem to live. Then he said, that's why when you uproot a tree, when you disconnect a tree from the earth, it starts to die. So the person said, when God wanted to make man, he didn't speak to the ocean or to the earth. He spoke to himself and said, let us make man in our own image. Do you understand? And then he said that as much as it's like everything God made needs what it was made out of to continue to survive. So fish need the ocean, the trees need the earth, and human beings need God. And when a human being is disconnected from God, then he starts to put so many other things into his life because he's actually searching for God. He's trying to search for God. And he's substituting all these things and putting them in his life. And most of the time, they end up ruining their lives because only God can fill that void. What is missing is usually God. And only God can fill that void. Hallelujah. You must not hesitate to let people know that I can tell you straight in your face that what you're missing is God. Yeah, what you're missing. That cigarette is God. You're trying to get God in, and you think you can smoke him in, but it's actually God. What you need is to ask Jesus to come into your life. You don't need a cigarette. You don't need a cigar. You don't need any of those smokes. together, shout. Jesus Christ. You may drink it. Now take the wine. This wine is for your mistakes. This wine is for things you shouldn't have done that you did. Which you know you shouldn't have done. This blood cleanses. It makes right all mistakes. Every mistake you've ever made is taken care of by the blood today. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Say with me the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may drink it. Now lift up your hands and let's pray. Father, today we lift up ourselves before you and we yield ourselves as instruments that will be used by God, that out of us shall flow rivers, out of our lives shall flow springs of water, springs of water that flow into dry places and which lead eventually to eternal life, Lord. Let people who encounter us encounter life in the name of Jesus. May we be a source of life to as many as come into contact with us. Not a source of condemnation, Lord. Not a source of guilt, but may we be a source of life blessing. Now today, if any is sick, Lord, we call upon the power of communion. The power in the bread for healing bodies in the name of Jesus. We rebuke sickness based on the power in the blood and the power in the bread. We rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. Every kind of discomfort, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Every kind of pain, we speak to it to go and to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Diseases that are now forming up, diseases that are yet to be tested, things we don't yet know about, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we address them even before we know they try to exist. We command the life to die out of them. Let the life die out of them. In the name of Jesus, tumors, cancer cells, pain, in the name of Jesus, we address them and we command them to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. All because of the power in the blood. Let there be healing. Let there be healing. Let there be healing. Let there be healing. Let there be healing, Lord. Healing of our hearts. Healing of broken hearts, Lord. Let your blood flow all the way to the corners, the deep parts of us, Lord. Let it bring complete wholeness and soundness to our spirits, to our souls, and to our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer today. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah.